he's going to share on December 1st. We're going to rotate. We're going to go through. The goal is to get it. Put your hand on your chest and say, Lord, help me to get it. And help it to make sense. Kingdom sense. Bible sense. Spirit sense. So that I can advance your kingdom. Together with my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our design title is called Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture. We talked a little bit about some of it last week, where we're looking at the book of Luke, and we're talking about, and we'll read it a little bit today, Jesus saying, this is how you go into communities and families and to people, and you bring. So we talked about peace last week, but now we're going to give the full description. And look at this, kingdom culture, heaven on earth. Everybody say that, kingdom culture, heaven on earth. Let's read this description. Now that we are Christians, our nature has been changed. We are recognized as Christ followers and kingdom ambassadors. Jesus himself has commissioned us to live lives that honor God with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's commissioned us to bring people into the glorious light of the goodness of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's commissioned us to invade the darkness and change the spiritual climate everywhere we go. Yeah. And finally, to always be prepared for our King and Lord Jesus' return. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Raise your hand if you believe Jesus is coming back. All right, so it's important for us to have that in our minds all the time. In fact, he says at one point, he says, whenever you remember the way he's coming back and that he's coming back, we purify ourselves. It's a hope. It's an expectation of God's goodness coming. And so these are the things. I'll read them again. After coming to faith in Jesus and being identified, and I'll go back to the identification at the beginning again. He says, now that we're Christians, our nature has been changed. Never forget that. You have been born again. You did not just join a church. You didn't just join a congregation. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and the Savior that represents to God. God saying, I accept you because of Jesus. So he's your attorney. He's your attorney. He's not your prosecutor. I just want to pause on that. Aren't you guys glad that Jesus is not your prosecutor? You ever go to court, traffic court, and this guy is over here or this gal is over here to show the judge you did the crime. You did the wrong thing, even if it was a traffic court. You're like, yeah, but, you know. But then you got your public defender, or you have your attorney. He speaks for you. She speaks for you. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. This is what it says. And sometimes we don't remember this description until Christmas. You know what the description is? Wonderful Counselor. We don't remember that. The only time we sing about the Wonderful Counselor is when we're singing Christmas songs. Wonderful Counselor. He stood in front of me, and he represents me. So, but there's a part that I want you to get before Pam and I get into this other part. It says, now that we're Christians, our nature has been changed. We are recognized as Christ followers and kingdom ambassadors. Put your hand on your chest. Say, I identify with the fact that I am, because of my faith in Jesus, and because of his love for me, his life for me, blood for me, death and burial for me, his resurrection I am a Christ follower.
I am a Christ follower.
I recognize that about me. That's my identity. But I am also a kingdom ambassador. You have that? I'm both. I'm a Christ follower, but I'm also a kingdom ambassador. In the book of Romans chapter 6, honey, he talks about reckoning yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto God. He says, recognize it, settle it. Settle it. Reconcile that fact. And that's who am I? I'm a Christ follower, and I'm a kingdom ambassador. And so what are the things that we do with this? Number one, I live a life that honors God. Number two, I'm always thinking about how I can bring people into the glorious light of God's goodness. God is good. Say that out loud. God is good.
God is good.
But God's goodness comes through Jesus Christ. Remember, I'm a Christ follower, and I'm a kingdom ambassador. What else am I doing? Does it stop there? No. I have been commissioned, along with my other brothers and sisters, to invade darkness. All right? We're supposed to invade the darkness. And we're supposed to change the spiritual climate everywhere we go. In between this week and next week, we're going to talk about how you do that. We're actually going to see what Jesus did. He's already put an example of this out there, and we want to follow that, and we want to be prepared. Now, the kingdom principles that we go off of, they come from resources that the two of us have studied together. We really were just blessed to go through, our own, educational programs, master's programs, all that stuff together to really learn. And we didn't know what ultimately it was for. Until the Lord began to, when we got commissioned in this, he says, now I want you to go and I want you to grow. And that's what we do. We move in apostolic leadership. And, you'll hear us once we get into some teaching about part of these concepts and you find out how you're wired, you'll begin to see, wow, this thing from heaven isn't, it's not just a snap of a finger. God put purpose into this. It says when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave gifts unto men. He put a design in place so that we could, in an organized way, advance the kingdom. And I'm not talking about just with a structure on a Sunday morning. The kingdom can be advanced anytime. What we have to do is find out, well, how am I wired? What's my part in the kingdom? And part of our responsibility is to equip you, to grow you up, so that we can be advancing the kingdom. Not advancing High Street Worship Center. Now, I want you to understand what we're trying to do here. High Street Worship Center, I don't know, Tabernacle, Christ Community, Bethel, St. John's, all of these churches, Abundant Life, Living Faith, all of these wonderful churches, which are great churches, we are not, our initial and our most important responsibility is not supposed to be advancing that church. None. High Street Worship Center, we're not supposed to be advancing High Street Worship Center. All of us are supposed to be advancing Jesus and his kingdom. Now, does that knock what we do on live stream and YouTube, and we have a building, and we have landscape, and we have, land around, we have pews, we have worship team, we have, leaders throughout, there's a structure when you come in on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening. Does that mean all of that is worthless? No. It's just that we always have to keep the main thing the main thing. And in doing so, we realize that just because that happens here between 10:30 and say 12:30, that doesn't mean that everything stops. When Deacon Javier or Deacon Dave or Deacon Isaac, they turn the lights off and close the doors. It's like, we did our job today. We all worshiped. No. What we did was we came in today, we honored God together, worshipers, and then we learned how to advance his kingdom. In the process, we built one another up. We encouraged one another. We followed God's economy. And we went through a process of giving Please understand, the giving here is creating an opportunity for us to live in God's economy. That's all those things have been put in place. But the biggest part is to equip you to then go. Because you're going to see people at 7-Eleven, you're going to see people at Wawa, you're going to see people at TD Bank, you're going to see people in the street you live on, the job you work at, the place where you go to get entertained, what theater or whatever gym you work out, you're going to be in places and you get to bring light into darkness. That's the whole plan. And our job is to equip you to do that so that ultimately Jesus can be glorified. So we love all of those church names that we highlighted. Lovely, wonderful pastors and leaders. But the goal is for us to equip you so that you can then go, all the while learning how to hear what is heaven's culture and how to bring that culture here. So there's some principles that we're going to be working on for the next 3 months. Five principles. And they'll have resources that we'll work through. And we're going to make this as easy as possible. But we want you to get, and it's all by the Spirit of God. One of those things is ecclesia. I want you to identify what ecclesia is. We want you to be able to understand what ecclesia is. And we started on some of it, but we're going to get you to the place where you realize that church isn't defined just as a building. Church is a mobile. It's a mobile deal going on. And all you need is at least two or three gathered around the manifest presence of Jesus, and you can bring heaven here. And so it involves the two or three of us at least coming together. And then there's keys to hearing God's voice. You need to know how to hear God's voice. Do you know when God is talking? You say, yeah, I knew God told me that. Well, how did you know? Well, I just know that I know that I know. I just know it. I just felt it. Well, there's a way to know that God is speaking to you. And we're going to help you walk through that so that you can be confident that God speaks. And not just copying off of what you heard somebody else say. Yeah, God told me. Well, how'd you get that? Well, I heard so-and-so say God told him to do it. Well, there's more than that. You got to know what his voice sounds like. And we're going to help you unpack that. What's your wiring? What's understanding your wiring? Because I'm wired different than Janae. I'm wired very different. I'm wired different than Pam. Pam is right-handed. I'm left-handed. And that's not just which hand we write with and which hand we do things. There's a way we process things. And when you talk about being able to hear God's voice, God's going to talk to you in a way, all supported by Scripture, all supported by God's character and his personality, but how he reaches you and how you understand, God speaks to me. I'm very intuitive. She is very organized. And I'll flow. Like right now, she's sweating bullets. I'm telling you right now.
I'm not sweating. I'm just listening. I wait for my turn to jump in.
Because we will have a structure, and I'll go way off the structure.
All the time. So you get used to it.
And I get used to her. And here's the deal. The more we know how each other is wired, the less frustrated we have to be. And that's not just a husband-wife thing. That's a church or ecclesia thing. That's why we don't say, oh, the prophets have it going on. No, the prophets have their part. The prophets don't have to get upset with the apostles. The apostles don't have to get upset with the pastors. The evangelists don't have to get upset with the teachers. Everybody has their wiring. And where are you in all of this? That's what we want to help you identify, because God wants to do things together with the body of Christ. The way he put it was, the body fitly joined together grows up and advances his kingdom. So that's how it works. So we got ecclesia, we got keys to hearing God's voice, we got understanding your personal wiring, hosting the Holy Spirit's presence, and then finally, prayer evangelism. And so we're actually going to talk today with prayer evangelism from here on out. Pam's going to talk a whole lot more than I am, because I've been doing so much of the talking up to this point.
I'll be talking until you find something.
It comes up.
Catches
right?
You, right?
Yeah. Whatever. All right. So you go for it.
We really are a good team. If you have been with any person, not necessarily a mate, but a brother or sister, somebody who's different from you for any period of time, you've got to learn how to link together with the gifts and even the shortcomings that you have that they might be able to support you in, because then you get something that can hold, you understand? You can hold something if you're doing like this, all you're doing is making sparks and making trouble. So we have learned, and you learn through experience, and sometimes you learn by doing things not the right way, but that's part of our job, is to help you understand that you don't have to be like someone else. You are like you are, and you are built to go together with those other people to make the whole system work. And that was God's whole plan. If you look at his disciples, they were different people. They were all different wirings, but they worked together to do what it says in the word after Jesus left, is these people turned the world upside down. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to leave this place and go turn the world upside down for his kingdom.
Yeah.
Because his kingdom is the right side up one. Here on this planet, where it's upside down, it's all mixed around, it's a mess. But we're called to bring kingdom love and order and peace and him to all the people that we come in contact with. And all the things that Pastor Terry talked about, all those concepts, all those principles are all different parts of that moving piece that we are, that helps us to do better what he called us to do.
Yeah.
And today,
let me just say this, babe. When we do that, and this is a big piece, and I hope you guys keep this as we go throughout, that the way to do this without it being a selfish thing of my ministry and my calling, and we got to be together. And what links it up is love and honor. Yeah. Those are the two things. So as we go through all of this, think with each other, love and honor.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit can lead us together.
Yeah, and that's not just love and honor for each other, but that's love and honor for all the people we come in contact with. We don't honor the person who doesn't know the Lord less than we honor our brothers and sisters. Because maybe that's a different concept for you, but every single person is valuable and precious. That's why we all know how to quote John 3:16. God loved the whole world so much that he gave Jesus. That's what we did this morning, recognizing in communion. So that means he doesn't love anybody less or more than anyone else. But what does happen is when we recognize who Jesus is and we accept him into our hearts, then we get both the responsibility and the privilege of taking him to people who don't know him. And God is so creative. He's so broad. He has so many ways to reach people. When we were growing up, one of the ways that we used to do was go out on Saturday afternoons and hand tracts to people and talk to them and pray with them. And that's still done. Lots of people. It's a wonderful way to interact with people one-on-one, to maybe lead someone to the Lord, someone who other people may have already given some seed and some water to, and you get to them and you get the opportunity to introduce them to Jesus because they've already been built up. Somebody's already poured stuff in them, and they go, yeah, I think today is the day I want to meet this Jesus guy that everybody's been telling me about. But one of the ways that we found out that can be so, and that those one-on-one, meet somebody that day and talk to them about the Lord is wonderful. But one of the ways that we found is very effective is more of a relational approach to evangelism. And we're entitling this prayer evangelism. So we can begin to put up what the slides. We can put up the slides. So we're talking about prayer evangelism. One of the resources that Pastor Terry and I are going to share with you over the next several months is how to speak to your neighbor. So that's really start with a definition. Prayer evangelism is talking to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. So all of the resources are to get you connected, to be able to hear his voice, to be able to host his presence, to be able to hear him clearly. So when you get in situations, then you know how to speak. You know how to respond to people because you're already in tune talking to God about what is needed in this situation. How does this person hear? How is this person wired so I can speak to them in a way where they'll be able to listen and hear and receive what I have to say?
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard when it comes to the evangelism piece, isn't it?
It is.
Because we feel like I got to know all of the Bible just in case I get in touch with somebody and I'm like, I want to talk to you about God or whatever. And they're like, well, you know, what about this? What about this? And I need to know the Romans road up and down. I need to know this passage and that passage. And it can be intimidating.
Yeah.
And this particular process helps you to be so comfortable with who you are. And whether you're talking about your neighbor or whether you're talking about your family member, being able to start first with that vertical piece.
That's right, that vertical relationship, because then you get the assurance that you are hearing from the Father. You know, something that just occurred to me as you were speaking is that when the disciples went out, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, when they went out from the upper room and started just evangelizing the world, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have all of the book of instructions that we have that sometimes tend to confuse us. Like Terry said, it gets too much, and so we just back off because we figure, I don't know all these things, and I can't share them all, so I'm just not going to say anything because I don't want to get caught in a place where somebody asks me something and I can't answer them. So instead of just relying on that voice and learning to hear it in the moment while still trusting the scripture that we've learned, we take all the responsibility on ourselves and we back off and we say, well, I can't do it, so I'm not going to try to do anything at all. But what we're going to talk to you about over the next day and probably a couple times is a system, if you will. There is no pat formula that God uses to help get to people because we are all different and people are all different. But we think that there's some general principles that he does use, and that's what we're talking about with prayer evangelism. And what I want to start with is some scripture, because where we are and where we're teaching from over these next couple days is from the words and instructions of Jesus. There's no better way to start. But what we're going to do is pull principles from those teachings that help you understand in a stepwise way how to do this relational evangelism, if you will, or prayer evangelism. So let's first go to scripture. And we're going to start with Luke chapter 9. And I'm using the New King James Version. So if you have a Bible app on your device, you can pull up the New King James Version. But if not, whatever you have, you can follow along pretty well in. And remember, this is what we're going to be talking about the next few times is Jesus with his disciples. He's teaching them, and he's beginning to send them out to do the job that he's called them to do. So we're going to start with Luke chapter 9 at verse 51. And remember, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set to journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did.' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'" And they went to another village. Honey, did you want to speak on that for a moment?
Yeah, I just think and we talked about this a little bit last week. I just think that, you know, that whole idea of what you said earlier about almost like being an enemy to people who don't know God.
Yes.
And this is something that has to shift. Because we look at people who don't go to church, haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, whether you're talking about family or friends. I mean, think about it right now. You know, think about the people in your family who aren't Christian, and instead of there being this deep, deep love and mercy and affection, We think sometimes, when they gonna get themselves together? They just making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Or when you think about the people that are in your community. You can have drug dealers in your community, or you can have, you know, people who don't treat others the nicest, you know. And we look at these people and we think, they don't know God. That's a shame. They need to get themselves together. Instead of the deep compassion. And so you see it with this response that James and John had. Yeah. They didn't get the response they wanted from the community, and they turn to Jesus and say, let's burn them. It blows me away every time. And as I said last week, I could have those blind spots. And we've had those blind spots looking at people who do wrong, are wrong, don't have the same values, don't have the same moral compass that we have. And we look at them and like, instead of seeing, hey, I'm here because of God's mercy towards me, and we have to find a way to give God's mercy. So if you have felt emotionally or mentally or even verbally, God, burn them up. Just burn, like David said, right? David's like, God, kill them. Kill their family, like, you know, Al Capone. We're going to burn their house to the ground, you know. No. I don't even want to be in his presence where I'm thinking like that.
Yeah, I always believe now, like I said before, we were talking about John 3:16 and how we can all, I mean, everybody at a football game can do that because they hold up the signs and everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but they'll experience eternal life, everlasting life. But I personally believe that that should not be spoken without 17 being spoken right behind it, because it gives such a clearer picture of who Jesus is and what his heart is. Because, I use just kind of interchangeably from the Message version, it says that Jesus didn't come just to point an accusing finger and to tell people how bad they were. He came to make things right. He came to save people. So when we look, please put that scripture together. When you see someone who you believe needs the Lord, it's not that he just wants to save them. It's that he wants to make things right for them. He loved so much that he gave, because he said, see these people and things are wrong, and I'm going to love them enough to give my life so that I can make things right for them. That was where his heart was, and that's where he wants us to. Our hearts start selfish. We're born that way. And that's why we have to come here together and learn and grow in coming out of that selfish place to a place of, this person is more important than me. They are so important that Jesus gave his life. I may not have to physically lay down my life, but I need to give up a part of my life to not point an accusing finger, but to draw them into the love of the Father. And that's what all the evangelism, in a nutshell, that's what the evangelism is for. But there are different ways, and I really want to begin to get to some steps for you. Now, he says I'm organized. I really am, but I like steps. Anybody else like points and steps and some things that you can kind of look back and draw from, and then you can kind of weave your own creativity and life into them? But I like just to start with just some basic principles. So,
well, I just want to say one thing on that. Even though these are steps, these are steps that Jesus used.
Yeah, we're coming from scripture.
We're coming from
what Jesus said.
How did he fix this? Because early on, he's like, guys, you're of the wrong spirit. But then what Pam's about to bring out, he gives steps. He says, that was the wrong way. This is the right way. Asking me to burn them up is the wrong way. I'm going to show you a better way, and it'll fix the climate in the whole city. So why don't we start with that?
Another little lesson in a nutshell, too, is that when people don't do the things that you think they should do, when you've taught somebody and they don't quite get it, not to write them off. Jesus did not. He knew that he had a mission for these guys to bring him to the world, to begin that process. And so he didn't say, well, you guys aren't of the right spirit. I'm done with you. He said, you're not right, of the right spirit, but let me give you some instruction on how to do this thing the right way. Where should your heart be, and how should you be doing this? So we're going to read a little bit of scripture today, several verses. We're going just straight over to Luke chapter 10, chapter after chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. And the principles that we'll be talking about over the next few days are all going to be drawn from here. So we'll read this, and then Pastor Terry and I will share over the next few times, breaking this down into the steps that we believe that Jesus meant by this. So once again, I'm reading from the New King James Version, chapter 10, starting at verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the way. But whatever house you enter, say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. I think what Jesus is saying when he sends them out, he's saying, I'm getting ready to come through and introduce myself to these folks, and I want you to prepare the way. I want to make sure that you are in a place where you can open people's heart, where you can expand them so that when I come and introduce myself, that they will receive me. So that's your job. That's our job. Jesus is the one that draws. God is the one that draws. It's our job to help people's hearts to open in a place where when he says, will you come, they say yes. None of us is ready out of the womb to say yes to Jesus. But there was someone in each one of our lives who told us about the goodness of God, who demonstrated the power of God, who did something to show you kingdom where you said, okay, this is the moment where I see that this thing is real and I need Jesus. However that is, I had no emotion when I received Jesus. I was like, okay, I'll try it. But then there are people who have abundance of emotions. There are tears. There's a feeling. There's just overwhelming. That response doesn't matter. It's whether you say the yes when he's introduced to you. Does that make sense? So all of you people who are like me who didn't have an emotional response, you can feel free today because I'm with you. So he wants to come and he wants to introduce himself. So we're going to start talking about, we're going to break this into four distinct steps, although in reality they all kind of meld together. So the four steps to prayer evangelism are this. The first is when you come to people, you bless them. You bless them, you release peace. Number two is you fellowship with them. We heard in the scripture, Jesus said, hang out with them. Eat whatever they give you. Spend time with them. You fellowship with them. Number three is you meet their felt needs. In the scripture itself, it says to pray for the sick. But there are other felt needs of the people that we come into contact with. We'll get into that into detail later. And number four is by the time you get finished doing those things and their hearts have been wide open, and the presence of God has touched their lives, then you get to say, here is the kingdom of God. Won't you receive Jesus? And this can happen in a few moments. This can happen in a few weeks. This can happen over a span of time, a relationship with someone. But these are things that you can do to begin to receive the power of God through you so that people's hearts will be open. So when, like Jesus taught the disciples, when he comes through, they say yes, and they receive him. So you guys open the hearings a little more about these steps that we can do to help us evangelize and be the presence of God in somebody else's life. Honey, yeah. Is there something you wanted to?
The piece of it is just remembering what this whole thing is about. Just imagine this. yesterday, and I know it's not March or it's not April. I want you to just picture this. Yesterday, we all went out to the hill, and we saw Jesus, who 40 days prior was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. And when he got up, he hung out with about 500. Mm-hmm. Imagine you were part of that. And here he is, he's about to leave the planet. Here he is, you know, we can say he's down, you know, 541. We all gather there, and we're like, listening to Jesus. Jesus, is this the time where you're gonna fix this, and you're going to fix this? He says, hey, don't worry about that. He says, I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel. Yeah. I want you to get my message out there, right? And then while we're standing talking to him, he goes up. See, you either believe the Bible or you don't. Let's not look at this as some kind of systematic thing and some just religious formality thing where we've quoted scriptures and recited stuff, you know, for years. This really happened. Jesus died for us. He was buried for us. The power of the Spirit of God raised us up. And then Jesus says to us, now go, and I'm going to show you how to do it. That's what he says. He says, I put that thing out there. Now it's time to go. So now, what do we do? Do we say, hey, I'm coming back to church on Sunday. Hey, I'm going to do this. No. We've got to advance the kingdom. Jesus is coming back. You know, HBO, Netflix, NBA, NFL, you know, the stock market, Hobby Lobby, you know, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, you know, going to school, going to this college, living in this neighborhood, getting into, Jesus is coming back. And we must see that our number one responsibility while we're here, I think it was Vandella a few weeks ago, or last week maybe, no, 2 weeks ago, she was saying, hey, once they went in to occupy one of those lands, he says, listen, you know, get married, have children, establish homes, do all of that stuff. But for Jesus, we gotta know he's coming. Yeah. And he is coming again. So when we hear things like what Pastor Pam is talking about, here's a way to get to people. It's not always about, hey, come visit my church. And that could be a tool. It's not always about, you better accept Jesus now. You could die tonight. Okay. The reality, he says, I want you to bless them. She opened with, talk to God more about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. Now that's something there. I'm going to say it again until you get it. Talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. You understand that? That means that before I rush in and say, hey, here's a track, and I've been there. I've been on the streets in Philadelphia, New Jersey. I've been on the streets. Hey, here's a track. Hey, here's a track. Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. And we put truth out there. But we've got to start with grace. You know, as we go through this process, I want you to hear from Lenore. Lenore Barbera. Raise your hand, Lenore. There's Lenore. And Lenore and Bill, they practice this thing in different ways. Lenore spends time hanging out with individuals. Just tea and coffee, loving them, doing it in a very broad way. What are you doing? I'm coming easy before I come with the truth. I want your walls to come down. I want you to be able to see the love of God. Talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. And here's the piece that Pam's just going to talk about a little bit before we wrap this up, is bless people. Bless them. Bless them in prayer and bless them in community. In other words, talk to God first. Say, Father, thank you for so-and-so. They are amazing. And Lord, I just ask you to open their eyes to see your goodness and to see your love. Don't talk to God about your neighbor by cursing them. I'm talking about God, make this neighborhood better. These people are horrible. God, you know, and they're affecting our families. No. Bless them. Father, bless them. Bless them with protection. Bless them with grace. Well, Pastor Terry, if you do all that, they won't turn to God. Listen.
That's exactly how they'll turn to God. That's exactly how they'll turn when they see their value, when they understand that there is something precious about them. You don't have to tell people that their lives are bad or that they're doing wrong. They know it already. They don't need to hear that. They don't need to hear more of that. For a long time, and in still many ways, the church has been at war with the lost. We look at the people that Pastor Terry was talking about before, maybe the drug dealer down the street or the people in the neighborhood. But also, what about the corporate executive who's embezzling money from his company, what we hear about on the news? What about the banker who has, you know, run some kind of scheme and stolen money from poor, innocent people? And these aren't people who are destitute. These are people who need God in their lives because they're missing, broken, like all of us, missing and broken. And so we speak peace and we bless people to change our hearts and mindsets, to speak to God on their behalf, so that they can come out of those lost and broken and miserable places, no matter where they are. Let's not be at war with the lost. Let's love them in, just like Jesus loved them in. That's the first reason why we bless and why we pray for.
We're not going to be able to do much more of this today, but
we'll finish this up, and then we'll talk more about it.
This Wednesday, we're going to do some of this
and
unpack
the
point. We're going to
unpack
some of this stuff, but we want the first thing you to start to do, when it comes to your family, bless them. And we're coming up on a great time for activity, because Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of these opportunities, we get to be around family. And for some of you, when I mentioned, you know, bless family, you know, you may have had that thing creep up in your stomach. I don't know if any of you have ever had that, where you mention one of your cousin's names or you mention this person, and all of a sudden, ugh, Pastor, you don't know my family. You just don't know. I want you to know God loves your family so much, he's sending you as the ambassador. You're the ambassador. So bless them. Bless them. But you don't know all the stuff they're doing. Don't worry about that. Bless them. The Bible says, with love and kindness, God drew you in. God drew me in. So bless them.
Bless them and don't curse them. If you're spending time blessing, if that's where your time and energy and attention are in blessing, you won't curse them. You can't have sweet and bitter water out of the same fountain. So if you're blessing and loving, you're going to make a difference in their life. And they won't receive the negative vibe, if you will, that they get from when we would say the negative curses over their lives.
Yeah. And sometimes we think curse and we think profanity. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about profanity. We're talking about the way you either damn them and talk about all the negative things that are happening and the results, or you can change the climate by blessing them. And you open the door. And then God is going to give you an opportunity to actually bless them and speak peace to them directly. But first, talk to God. First, talk to God about them. And you may say, well, Pastor, I've already been doing it. Keep on doing it. And now let's go to that next step of actually telling them, hey, I just want to bless you. Just like we do at the restaurant, you know, somebody serves you really good. Says, thank you so much. And I'm going to leave a tangible tip, but I'm also going to say to you, I just want to bless you just with goodness and life. Is there anything I can pray for you for? Now, all of a sudden, you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with.
So it touches them, but it also touches you. Yeah. It changes you. It begins to reassemble the things in your heart and make you see them, to make you see people in a more loving light than you ever have before. The more you do it, the better it gets.
And so our job is to equip you with, number one, this. This is the first step. You know, you saw the steps. You know, you're going to bless and release peace. And then you want a fellowship. You're going to learn how to spend time with people who don't know God. And then you're going to learn how to meet their felt needs, whether you're praying for them or maybe even blessing them with some resources. And when all of that is done, they say, wow, you are amazing. No. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. That's in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and 10. Matthew 6 and 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. What is this, what we're doing? This is what happens in heaven. Blessings happen in heaven. The goodness of God is in heaven. People matter in heaven. That's why God didn't send Jesus to the sick, to the well. He sent them to the sick, even if they don't know that they're sick. It's our job to change the climate. So let's start with our family. Let's bless them. Let's bless them. Let's love them. But don't just do it on your own. God, I'm praying for Sandy. God, I'm praying for Abdullah. God, I'm praying for Kevin. God, I'm praying.